Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Jude, and I have some selected verses that we'll be sharing in our reading. And out of respect for the reading of God's word, would everybody stand at this time? Be reading from the book of Jude, beginning with verse 1, and as we go through the different verses, I'll indicate the reference. First, I'll be reading from the first three verses of this book. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, and a brother of James. To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. Then verse 8. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, slander celestial beings. And in verses 10 and 11, yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Verses 17 and 18. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. Verses 20, 21, and 22. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. The word of the Lord for us this anniversary Sunday. Please be seated. Some of you may be aware of the fact that this small book of Jude is the last of the New Testament epistles to be found in the Bible. Bible scholars think it was probably written about AD 68. And there's very good evidence that the writer of this book was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude, as you look through this book, and we only have time to look at selected verses today, Jude did not believe in allowing negative influences to undermine any congregation. And believers here at the Broadfording Church of the Brethren Fellowship have not allowed negative influences to undermine this Church of the Brethren congregation that was reorganized 35 years ago this year. The Brethren Encyclopedia indicates that the Mid-Atlantic District recognized the continuing existence of the Broadfording Church of the Brethren and supported the remaining loyal group of 72 members back in 1979. I would like to recognize every person here today that was one of those 72 original members. Would you stand up at this time and stay standing, please? Every person here that was one of those original 72 members, and let's give God a great round of applause for their faithfulness. Thank you. Thank you. Today we thank the Lord that our membership is 307. I did a little statistical study of the last yearbook of the Church of the Brethren. And the last yearbook of the Church of the Brethren reported that the average Church of the Brethren membership today in a congregation is 114. And the average attendance is 51. We praise God. Last year, our average attendance here was 120. Thank you for your faithfulness. I believe this congregation has sought to remain faithful to the New Testament teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles. And indeed, our text from Jude encourages us to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. Like the New Testament church, we've remained faithful to the ordinances of baptism by trial and immersion, feet washing, love feast, bread and cup communion, laying on of hands, and anointing of the sick for healing. And I have a praise, I just can't keep my mouth shut any longer about this. Last Wednesday night, after prayer meeting, some of you participated in an anointing service for Becky Slate. Becky had brain surgery for a tumor on Friday afternoon. They had to drill a hole right here to remove the tumor. But praise the Lord, the tumor is benign, and she was discharged from Meredith yesterday. You see, God honors the practice of His ordinances. And we believe that the foundational truths of the Christian faith are unchanging. I want to draw your attention just for a moment to verse 1. Jude there identifies himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. And I trust that everybody in attendance here today identifies themselves as a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. May this be a celebration day when, according to verse 2, mercy, peace, and love may overflow. What is mercy? I know we throw these words around, but what does mercy mean? Mercy is not getting from another what we deserve. Mercy speaks of God's compassionate comfort and care. Mercy presupposes need and helplessness. And we need to extend God's mercy to so many people. Peace. Peace is a serenity that comes from those who look at the sovereignty of God as controlling the circumstances of life. They don't let the circumstances of life control them. D.L. Moody once wrote about the peace we can have with God as follows, quote, "This is ours when we worry about nothing, pray about everything, and thank God for anything," unquote. Love speaks of God's affection for us, His generosity in granting us His favors, and how God meets our needs as individuals and as a congregation. Love is the bond that unites believers with the Lord Jesus Christ and with each other. Some of you might not realize that God has provided us the means over these last 35 years to pay our bills on time and to share God's love with others. And again, this detailed pastor did a little bit of research. Over the last 35 years, we have contributed over, because there's 2 years we're missing data for, $576,621 to missions and outreach by this congregation. Our congregation is debt-free. And the appraised value of our structure and our 6 acres has been appraised at $1,685,000. Did you know these words I've just talked about, mercy, peace, and love? I want you to think about them like this. There is an upward look in the word mercy, an inward look in the word peace, and an outward look in the word love. And this congregation over the last 35 years has demonstrated outwardly the love of Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 3, Jude was compelled by the Holy Spirit to write this short letter. He didn't just write this because he wanted to. Jude mentions the faith. What does he mean by this term? I think the term faith speaks of the body of truth regarding God's great plan of salvation. And the expression faith also refers to the sum total of what Christians believe and practice. Faith refers to the basic foundations of Christian truth. And Jude indicates here that the revealed truth of Scripture is complete and final. And verse 3 reminds us that the faith was once for all entrusted to the saints. God's revelation is complete. Nothing can be added. Some of you are familiar with the last chapter of the book of Revelation that warns against adding to or deleting from God's word. And although we are to grow in the knowledge and practice of biblical truths do not change. The foundations of faith for the Christian faith are non-negotiable. But what does it mean to contend for the faith? To contend means to strenuously engage in the defense of or to agonize upon something. I would encourage this congregation to continue to contend for the faith. But I'm going to slow down for a minute because I want you to hear what I'm saying. You can contend for the faith without being contentious. This congregation does not believe liberty in Christ gives a person a license to do whatever they please concerning the ordinances and commands that we find in the Bible. Verse 8 speaks about individuals who in Jude's day and in today reject authority. And of course, we know there are so many ways that individuals go about abusing and contaminating their own bodies today. And when people turn away from the truth of God's word, this produces evil results, not only for the spirit and the soul, but for the body as well. Certainly over the last 35 years in American society, we have seen an increase in the number of individuals who have revolted against the authority of parents, schools, government, the church, and even the scriptures. And since the word of God today means so little to so many people, is it any wonder during the last 35 years since this church was reorganized that we have witnessed such a decline in the social order, not just in our country, but in countries around the world? In regards to verse 10 of Jude, Phillips translation says, quote, "They are ready to mock at anything that is beyond their immediate knowledge," unquote. 35 years ago, who even heard of the Freedom From Religion Foundation? But we live in a day when the Freedom From Religion Foundation and the American Civil Liberties Union mock those people of faith who believe the words "under God" should remain in the Pledge of Allegiance and the words "in God we trust" should continue to be the national motto of the United States of America. Some people consider verse 11 in Jude to be the heart of the book's structure because it stands midway between illustrations drawn from the supernatural realm and illustrations from the world of nature in verses 12 and 13. Verse 11 mentions three historical incidents to warn us that regardless of what is politically correct or acceptable in society, God has never changed his attitude toward sin or lawlessness. Most of us know who Cain was. Cain was the first person to despise and reject God's way of salvation, and he set up a religion that pleased his own evil heart. And today, many people just like Cain design and manufacture their own faith. The second person was Balaam. I've never met a person that a parent decided to name their son or daughter Balaam. Have you? Okay. The second incident was Balaam's error. Balaam himself started out as a good and true prophet of God, but he succumbed to the lure of this, money. He used deceit and covetousness to achieve his goals. Even today, you and I know of so many people who love money more than honoring God. And their lives are consumed not only by earning a living, but by accumulating more and more stuff. The third incident mentioned here was Korah's rebellion. Korah was the leader of a group that rebelled against authority that God gave to Moses and Aaron. Korah put himself on the same level as Moses. And think about so many people today who deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Actually, what they're saying is Jesus' words aren't authoritative because those people think Jesus was just a human being like you and I. And those people think their opinion is just as important as the opinion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Three interesting individuals, but they typify people we meet today. Yes, Cain occupationally was a farmer, Balaam was a prophet, and Korah, in fact, he was I'll call him a politician, he was a prince, he was a political official. And individually, Cain, Balaam, and Korah speak of particular examples of what it means to fall away from God's revealed truths. Notice verse 18. It was predicted that scoffers would follow their own ungodly desires. Their personal preferences dictate for them what is right and what is wrong. Instead of appreciating and respecting God's word as a basis of authority, they go by their own opinions. I think we're all aware that we find in the Bible limits for the control of human conduct. And men and women sin when they overstep those divine boundaries. Scoffing or mocking isn't something for Saturday Night Live. Scoffing or mocking is not a light or a humorous thing, but scoffing and mocking is a serious attack on God, on His Word, and on His people. I am grateful that after 35 years, this congregation's affirmation of faith and purpose still contends for the following, quote, believes in the Bible as the inerrant Word of God, verbally inspired, all-sufficient rule of faith and practice, unquote. Notice in verse 20, if we contend without building, and I'm going to slow down, I want you to hear this, or if we build without contending for the faith, we are out of balance. We're only directing our attention to only a part of God's word. You see, we build ourselves up and we contend for the faith when we not only study the Bible, but we resolve to follow its teachings. As we become more and more familiar with the written word, we are being guided further along what the Bible calls a narrow road of righteousness. We read in Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. You see, through worship, fellowship, and observing the ordinances, this is how we are built up in the faith. I also find a phrase so important. Did you see the phrase? Praying in the Holy Spirit. That means we're to pray with the energy of the Holy Spirit and pray in accordance with God's will. It means that we make our prayer requests in accordance with the mind of the Spirit who even inspired the scriptures that instruct us. And I want you to think for a moment. Doesn't God value more one simple Holy Spirit energized prayer than 1,000 eloquent and carefully worded prayers? We need to pray as a congregation as we continue to contend to the faith. We need to pray more in the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can accomplish more of God's work, not through our effort, but through God's power. In verse 21, we're encouraged to keep ourselves in God's love. That is to say, according to Ephesians 5:2, quote, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Is it difficult to maintain an attitude of love in a world that is filled with increasing violence, hatred, controversy, and envy? We have a challenge today, don't we? We must not allow the distracting and discouraging events of our lives or the world to draw us away from fellowship with the Lord and being gracious, filled with grace, to people we interact with. Do you remember Jesus' words from John 15:10? He reminded us there to reject his commands is to reject his love, because he said, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. You see, it's important to maintain a close walk with the Lord at all times, not just up here, but down here, as we contend for the faith. We must always be prepared for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's promised to return for his own, to deliver them from a horrible day of wrath that is going to be coming on this planet. And we find this promise in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. when you and I have successfully contended for the faith, then, and only then, will we be ready to offer that last prayer of celebration that is found in the Bible. And you guessed it. It's not a long prayer. It's a short prayer. Just three words. Come, Lord Jesus. I invite you to stand as we turn to number 173, our hymn of invitation. Jesus is coming again. Number 173.